Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So the presence of the Lord is very strong this evening in this place. Very, very strong. You know, I'm always wondering and seeking the scriptures and seeking God to try and find the secrets, the mysteries. What is it that, you know, what is it that caused miracles to take place? What is it that causes miracles to take place today? What do we have to do? What is our part involved in that? And I search the scriptures and discover many different things. And we know that when it comes specifically to healing now, that very often we just don't understand. We don't understand why God does it, when He does it, but He does. Sometimes we sort of understand, but sometimes we don't. And so we search the scriptures, looking at Jesus's life as obviously the greatest role model that we have. And we see healings taking place in His life that are just unbelievable. Can you all say amen? So we see the supernatural power of God manifest through the life of Jesus in a very, very miraculous way. But we also see straight after Him being taken up, we see the power of God and we see miracles and signs, wonders take place in the lives of the apostles who were basically raised up under Him and also many others as well. We see Philip the evangelist, we see Stephen also, who we know was operating with power and eventually got stoned because of it. And we see this beginning, this movement of God beginning. And over the last few weeks, I've been speaking a lot about some fundamental basics, really. Talking about grace, talking about, you know, our salvation, knowing your salvation, understanding that there's nothing you can do for salvation. It's a free gift. Amen. But there are many different realms of the Spirit that we begin to walk in. When we are saved, we already are connected to God. The Spirit of God dwells inside of us. But you do grow as you walk with God. Amen. And you see different things. The Bible speaks of many mysteries. Can you say amen? There are mysteries in the Bible. So we see these mysteries. But when it comes to moving in the supernatural, when it comes to moving in the gifts of the Spirit or moving in the power of God, there are obviously different things that we can take note of. But I don't know about you, if you study the Bible, and as I said this morning, if you look at the book of Acts, it's very clear what took place in the book of Acts, that it was awesome. And that is what the church is supposed to look like. Don't let anybody tell you it was only for them, because that is such a lie. The only example we have of the church and what it's supposed to look like is the book of Acts. And if you study the book of Acts, we see certain trends. But one of them is we just see a continuation of what Jesus was doing, which was showing mercy, which was showing love, which was showing compassion, which was changing people's lives, which was leading people from darkness to light, which was delivering people, which was setting people free, which was causing healing to come. Amen. We see this continue as a trend straight out of the life of Jesus into the New Testament, and we see this continue on, and it's absolutely awesome. Somewhere along the line, tradition and man's interpretation of scriptures removed all that. And that's what it is. What does the Bible say? Amen. The Bible is your final authority. If the Bible doesn't say it, we don't do it. For example, as I said this morning, there's no sprinkling in the Bible when it comes to baptism. So if there's no sprinkling in the Bible, why would I want to sprinkle? There's no sprinkling for me. The Bible doesn't speak of sprinkling. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us that we must baptize little children who have not got understanding. The Bible says that before you get baptized, you must repent. So in order to repent, you must have understanding of what sin is and understand who Jesus Christ really is. So you have to be of an age where you can understand that. Before that time, a child is innocent. Amen. So they do not need to be baptized. Okay, if you have baptized your child and they were small, that's okay. Don't worry, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. Okay. But one of the things I did was I went and had a look at some scriptures in the life of Jesus. And there was one thing that he did over and over and over where we see the supernatural power of God begin to take place. And I want to share this with you this evening, if that's okay with you guys. We have a great crowd tonight. Wonderful to see so many of you. Thank you so much for coming out on a Sunday night. I always said right from the beginning that when we get full on Sunday nights, we know God's getting ready to move us. Amen. And we are pretty much full on Sunday nights right now, so we know that that's happening. Just so you know, for those of you that are interested, we've already started negotiating with the property that we're planning on purchasing. So the negotiations have started. Amen. So you can pray for favor for us so that we get the right price and agree on the right price and timeline and all that good stuff. But God is busy. Amen. All right, so let's go to Matthew 9, verse 31. We'll start there. We'll start there. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. It was never seen like this in Israel, because they'd never seen a demon being cast out before. Because in the Old Testament, this is one of the signs in the New Testament which was unusual. In the Old Testament, there was never a kingdom taking dominion over a kingdom like this. So this was the power of light of God coming in and taking and removing the darkness out of a person, which is absolutely awesome. So all the Old Testament guys like Moses and Elisha and Elijah, as anointed as they are and as anointed as they were, they could not cast a demon out. But you and I can. Amen. Okay. So that's good news. Amen. All right. So the people were astounded. But the Pharisee said, he casts out a demon by the ruler of the demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's powerful. And healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You'll notice in the life of Jesus that many times before the supernatural takes place, or as the supernatural is taking place, or while he's doing a miracle, you'll notice the word compassion. He was moved with compassion. Now I'm going to give you quite a few examples and then we're going to talk about it. Amen. But remember what I said to you this morning, for those of you that were here this morning, and for those of you that weren't, I'll give you a little bit of a snippet. We read about, I'm going to give you one of the stories, the eunuch who had basically been with Philip the evangelist. He was riding in his cart, and Philip began to speak the gospel to him, to teach him the gospel, speak to him about Jesus. As soon as they saw water, this man got so excited that he said, look, there's water. What will stop me from being baptized? But what you have to understand is that it's something had happened inside of him, this man. The gospel had been presented to him, the good news had been presented to him about Jesus, and obviously also water baptism had been presented to him. But immediately he saw the water and without any hesitation was like, what do I need to do? Something inside of him was busy moving. Something inside of him was busy changing. And in your life as a believer, in your walk with God, it's very sad if you're a believer and you don't have those kinds of experiences. Your salvation, for example, when you come to Christ, something draws you on the inside. The Holy Spirit begins to draw you, to pull on you. But it's like on the inside of you. It's not something that just appears and, you know, and then you just feel like this is great. And then you know, I think I'll give my life to the Lord. You know, it's something that's really sincere. But there's a pulling, there's a movement almost on the inside of your body. Do you agree, guys? Have you ever had that? Okay. All right. Let's go to Matthew 14, verses 13 to 14. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So first, we see Jesus moved with compassion, and immediately afterwards, the response to the compassion is healing the sick. Amen. Now, maybe you guys all know this and you've seen this before. That's okay. Just bear with me. Okay. Matthew 20, 29 to 34. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Once again, we see the men crying out and the Lord having compassion on these men, and immediately they get their sight back. A miracle takes place directly after the compassion. Amen. Mark 1, 40 to 42. Guys, I'm reading you the word. It's good. Amen. You need some word. Hallelujah. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Again, once again, we see a compassion coming out of Jesus, and the result of this compassion is a great healing. Amen. Amen. All right, one or two more, and then we'll talk about it. Luke 7, verse 11 to 16. I want to show you how often compassion resulted in healing. Is that okay, guys?
Yes.
Now, it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." Amen. Once again, we see the Lord having compassion on her. Now, the word compassion is a Greek word. The Greek word is splunknizomai. But what we need to look at here is the root of that word is a word called splunknon. Now, the word compassion, the root of the word compassion here is the word splunknon, which actually speaks of inner parts. It speaks of entrails, the heart, the inner yearning. The body has feelings, okay? But the spirit doesn't have feelings. The spirit has splanknon. Now listen to me. Okay? Because under normal circumstances, the word compassion in the Greek is actually the word sympathes. Sympathes, which I'm sure you can all gather, is the word sympathy. But Jesus did not have sympathy on these. Go look at it in the Greek. You'll see the word splanknon is the root word that is used there, which speaks of something happening inside of him. It's not a sympathetic compassion. I'm in no way suggesting that it doesn't have to do with love. I'm sure it does. So I'm sure that love and a type of sympathy perhaps, but it's not a fleshly thing. It's not a body thing or a mind thing. It's a compassion that comes directly from your innermost parts. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Come on, I can't just give you milk all the time. I have to give you a little bit of bone and meat and stuff like that sometimes. Amen. So we see that Jesus is walking. And while he's walking, something happens. And someone's talking on the side, or something, an incident's taking place. And immediately inside of him, his entrails, his inner parts, his spirit inside begins to leap, begins to move, begins to... Have you ever had that feeling where you feel like your intestines are busy going like this? This is what's busy taking place on the inside of him and drawing him to that person. But you must understand, this is not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Amen. So we have to get to the place where we hear what God is saying. Amen. And when we hear what God is saying, as we know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So our inner parts begin to respond to the demand that the people have on God. You see, the prophetic anointing works with the demand. So for example, if the people are not hungry, there will be no demand put on the prophetic and nothing will happen. But if the people are hungry and thirsty for God, if you're thirsty for His presence, if you're thirsty for Him to move, then there's a demand placed on the anointing and then something begins to happen. You see, I'll give you an example. This morning, in the second service, I was done. We were closed. And immediately my inner parts began to move. And I knew what God was wanting to do straight away. I knew that straight away He wanted to do something. He wanted me to do a call for salvation. Because there was a few people, there wasn't many that gave their lives to the Lord, I think 3 or 4, I can't remember exactly. But it was important to Him. Yes. It was so important to Him. But you have to be sensitive to Him. You have to be sensitive to the Spirit. And you have to be able to feel, not in your flesh or your body or tingling in your skin, it's an inner thing, it's a yearning, it's a deep thing that will cause a compassion or a movement inside you, rather, that will cause you to then want to pray for someone. There are times when I'm moving in the Spirit, for example. There are times when I'm moving in the Spirit and all of a sudden I'll call someone out and I'll prophesy over them that they won't die. And I'll prophesy over them that you will not die. And that God says this and this and this. And I don't even know what's going on inside of them. But because of that deep compassion that was in me for that person, all of a sudden healing comes and the miracle comes. Amen. So we see in the life of Jesus, this compassion or inner yearning or inner calling or inner pulling, you know, it says entrails, heart, inner yearning, inner parts, splanknon, compassion. This is the very thing that draws God to begin to move in the life of Jesus. Have you ever been in the mall and all of a sudden you walk past someone and all of a sudden you feel this thing inside you? Like you just know you're supposed to do something. There's a lady in our church, she's not here this evening, I don't think. And she told me a story about Walmart. She works in Walmart. And she said that a person died in Walmart. And he was lying on the floor. And all of a sudden, she started praying. And she got this pull in her stomach that she needed to go and pray for that man. And immediately, she went and prayed for him. And he rose up. Okay. Now, I would think this is coincidence, but it happened a second time to her as well. Okay. So I don't know. She just has that gift. What can I say? But what fascinates me about her story is it lines up with like Jesus. How all of a sudden there's this compassion. There's this pulling on the inside. And it almost activates the anointing. It almost activates the dunamis power of God in your life. You see, as you begin to press into God, as you begin to seek Him, as you begin to draw close to Him, let's move past forgiveness now. We're forgiven. Amen. It's time for us to be raised up as disciples. Amen. A disciple must operate in power. A disciple must demonstrate his power. Remember, the gospel of the kingdom is a message of power. It's a message of freedom. It's a message of life. But you cannot demonstrate the power of God unless you have it in you. So this compassion, this pulling that comes to you will activate the dunamis power of God in your life. It will activate the power. It will release the power to bring the miracle. And we see in the life of Jesus, not once, not twice, not three times, but over and over and over, this splunknon, this compassion that takes place, that draws him. It's almost like he has no choice. And if you look at the people in the story, all of them almost had this great need or belief that Jesus could actually heal them. Why am I telling you this tonight? You see, everything we do, we believe we're being led by the Holy Spirit, right? So as your pastor, I believe that God has been leading me. We've been talking so much over the last few weeks about grace, about forgiveness, about baptism, fundamental truths that you must understand, because if you don't understand that, you will never move past those fundamentals. You see, if you don't understand and grasp the fact that you've been forgiven, that nothing qualifies you for forgiveness except the blood of Jesus, there's nothing you can do. It's done. You have it. You're forgiven. Regardless of how bad you are, it'll just mess up your walk with God. Okay, but you are forgiven. Okay? So now you walk in that. If you start to grasp that, you'll start to seek Him. You'll start forgetting about that. You'll start to seek Him now to move. You'll start to become, have a desire to become a true disciple. As you have a desire to follow the Lord and be a true disciple, so the sin and stuff will automatically begin to leave your life, because your focus shifts off the sin and your mistakes in your life onto the desire to seek God with everything inside of you. Because once God uses you to touch someone's life, it is like there's no drug that even comes close. How dare you say that in church? Listen to me. Where do you think those passions and desires come from? It's a spiritual thing. Let me tell you something. If I even get an idea or a thought in my mind that God will not use me again, I want to die. Because there is nothing better than seeing God touch somebody's life, than seeing God transform somebody's life. when I walk past someone or I come to a section and all of a sudden there's a drawing to one person and I know that God's about to do something because it's not normal for me to feel that way. Why did God point you out to me? God's about to do a miracle in your life. Now it's great. It's great that I tell you about it for me, but it's time for you to step into that. It's time for you to start to do that. It's time for you to believe that God can use you. It's time for the church to begin to activate the body of Christ. It's time for the body of Christ to take their rightful place. The church needs to go beyond the four walls. Stop desiring the pulpit. Go out there and use the power and authority that's been given to you. Go out there. Go out there. Go out there and have compassion on those who need compassion. I've been a pastor for a long time. Take your seats. Well, I haven't actually been a pastor for a long time, but I've been in ministry a long time. On and off. Amen. So, yeah, that's right. I'm not perfect. Amen. Okay, but I'm here. Okay. You know, let me tell you something. My mind and my spirit are in constant battle because my mind likes to tell me all this stuff, but my spirit knows who I am. My spirit knows God, has a relationship with Him, knows His voice. I've gotten to a place. Listen, I'm not trying to talk about myself, man. I tell you how bad I am all the time. Okay? I need to tell you some stuff so you can learn. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. You will get to the place where your spirit begins to recognize the voice of God. Begins to feel that splanton, that compassion, that pulling, that draws you towards someone who desperately needs a word. One night, we were here in the church, and I was getting ready to close, and my wife cried out for someone in the congregation in her heart and said, please God, that person desperately needs a word from you. And all of a sudden, I'm ready, I'm busy closing. All of a sudden, I stop, and I call that person out. I'm not telling you this because I think I'm great, man. I'm telling you this because I want you to know that God can do anything. That God knows and He cares about you. But it is time. It is time that we move past going through the motions. Stop going in circles, the same patterns over and over. Get into church. Get all passionate and excited about it. Start going for it for a little while. Then we lose our passion. We lose interest. Eventually, we probably leave that church and go to another one. Come on, it's not the church, it's you. I can't stop serving God. He's too awesome. He's too amazing. There's too many mysteries. There's too much I don't know still. There's too much I want to discover, and I just love to see Him move. Tonight He's going to move big time. Big time. If you always neglect that pulling in you, eventually it goes away. That doesn't mean you can't get it back, but eventually it does go away. You see, it is related to loving people as well. Of course, it is. It has to be. Because anything that God does is always love. Amen. But it's such a great measure almost that it is something that just pulls so hard on you. Amen. I just keep talking because I'm waiting for the pulling. Is that okay? Because I'm ready to go. Okay? Okay. Aren't you tired of coming to church week after week after week after week after week and nothing happens in your life? It's nobody's fault but yours. Can't blame me. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm passionate about Him. I'm on fire for Him. Amen. If you ain't on fire, it ain't my fault. It's all about the heart. How desperately do you desire Him? Oh, but you know, Pastor, I haven't done this and I haven't done that and I haven't been good enough and no. Tonight in this place, His presence is already saturating the building. His presence is here. It's tangible. I can feel it. I know He's in this place. We're heading towards Pentecost, and this year particularly is going to be a year where God is going to move so powerfully during Pentecost. We're going to see incredible miracles. We're going to see incredible breakthroughs.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.